Welcome to Good People Talk, the podcast of the Good People Fund. This is where GPF grantees come to speak about their passion and vision to create positive change and uplift hope. Amy Ever is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. As the founder and CEO of A Courageous Voice, she leads a dynamic and growing program to educate and equip children, parents, and leaders with the knowledge and tools to prevent child abuse, child neglect, and child exploitation rooted in both on and offline spaces. For more information, visit goodpeoplefund.org. Here's Amy in conversation with Good People Fund Executive Director Naomi Eisenberger.
Tell us a little bit about A Courageous Voice. If you can, tell it from the personal perspective, because so many of GPF's programs were born out of the founder's personal experiences.
It all started from my work with children. I've worked with kids for over 30 years, but my healing as a survivor of child sexual abuse really didn't start until my late 30s, and I started working in foster care. And there was such a connection with these children of what had happened to me. Just the horrible stories that you hear, and I don't think I had ever really thought that it was happening to anybody else. You know, as a survivor, a lot of times you're stuck in your own story because of the shame that you carry and the anger. And I thought, oh my God, this is everywhere, right? And then I went on to work in more of the nonprofit sector, working with youth after school programs. And again, hearing more and more of this, had to call CPS a couple of times because in the state of Michigan, if you work with children, you're considered a mandated reporter. So I was legally obligated. It was just awful. The more and more I heard it and saw children were coming to me, or other children, their friends were coming to me, hey, so-and-so is in the bathroom curled up in a ball. And they would ask for me to go in. And I just had this real connection with kids, mostly middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I thought, something's got to be done. And then the pandemic hit. It was, I call it a download, walking through from my bedroom to my living room, and I heard just as clear as day, A Courageous Voice, this is going to be the name of your work. And I thought, well, that's really odd. And it just kind of went on from there. And that, Naomi, is when I really found my voice in being able to talk about what had happened to me and being a voice for the voiceless.
Do you think that had this not been your own personal experience, that you would have responded to what you were hearing from the kids that you were working with in the same way?
Probably not. I think when you come from that other side, it affects you much differently because you're able to really connect. There is a very special connection when you are talking to other children who are being abused, especially sexual abuse.
How do you handle that every day?
I get to go into the schools. I get to empower these children. And then I can go. And that also had to be a huge part of my healing, because otherwise I would get too engrossed in it. It was really, really hard. And every time I go and speak or tell my story, it usually takes a couple of days for me to be able to come back around. And I knew that going into it. So making sure that I have a therapist that I talk with, and really making sure that my self-care is there, because it can absolutely get overwhelming.
I can understand why going down the road that you went down, where you were proactively helping other kids, becomes a healing process for you.
That was how, I think, where the majority of my healing has come from, is being able to be those boots on the ground, for the kids.
A Courageous Voice identifies both online and offline areas that are ripe for child abuse and neglect and exploitation. Can you give us a sense of what those zones are in real terms?
Yeah, sure. With abuse, there's definitely four types, and we do cover this in our curriculum with children. But child abuse, for instance, physical, is in the state of Michigan, and it's kind of different for every state. So folks who are listening need to check out their state laws around all of this. But, you know, neglect is food, water, medical care. You know, those are the things that a child must have in order to survive. So if those things are not present, that would be neglect. Exploitation is a child who is being exploited, especially sexually. It can be online or offline. Unfortunately, we find sometimes that parents are actually exploiting their children in order to make money. It is a sad truth. It is happening everywhere. It's not just happening somewhere in a third world country. Unfortunately, America is the number one out of all the countries in the world for purchasing human trafficking victims.
Really?
Yes. So, and children obviously go for a much higher rate in human trafficking, but child exploitation falls underneath, and sex trafficking actually falls under, for children, falls underneath child sex abuse. So a lot of people are not aware of that either. Sextortion, anything to do around any kind of exploitation, child exploitation. So, and it's always to make money. It's about power and making money.
What kind of statistics do you have for Detroit? Because that's clearly where you're, you know, that's where you're based.
Michigan, I can tell you, ranks about, it teeters on about 10th in the nation for human trafficking.
Wow.
Detroit and Grand Rapids are two hubs here in the state for human trafficking. And Ohio seems to be like a main thoroughfare where victims are carried to and from. And our borders are a big issue around this. And neglect here in still ranks the highest. It's 90th percentile being around neglect. Some initiatives that a Courageous Voice would love to work with legislation on is really getting these statistics where they need to be so that we have a better informed society, so that we know what to do, right? The more you know, the better you know, better you are.
Have you gone into any of the advocacy work yet? Or I'm assuming if you haven't, that you are going to.
Yes. So it actually started last year, and I spoke on a panel for Michigan State Representative. And on that panel, there was the assistant district attorney for the state of Michigan. She was there, and we had another organization, another nonprofit, human trafficking here in the state, in Oakland County, was there. We also had a victim specialist from the FBI, and then I got to be on that as well. So it's been a real honor and a privilege to be able to do a lot of these panel discussions with some Michigan State reps. I have Kirk in the Hills coming up in May with Michigan State Representative Brenda Carter. I'll be working with her. I spent an hour with State Representative Mike Harris, who now will be at our fundraiser in April. He's coming to say a few words. So I've had a lot of positive comments and being able to work with these folks. And we really want to work to change Aaron's Law. This is our first initiative with a Courageous Voice that we are hoping. Governor Snyder, back in the day when Aaron's Law was passed, and this law states that child sexual abuse prevention education is mandatory in all public schools. And one word was changed to mandatory, from mandatory to allow.
Oh.
So now it's not being taught really at all. And we want that to change so that we can get this prevention education. 95% of child sex abuse can be prevented with prevention education. That's a huge statistic, Naomi. This is just one of the initiatives that we really would like to push for change, and it may take many years to get done. You know, I don't know, but it's really worth it. It really matters.
When you picked the name, A Courageous Voice, what was...
I don't know that I did...
Other than that voice that came to you as you were walking through the hallway, what's behind it?
My voice.
It's a very powerful name.
Yeah, my voice.
It is your voice, yes.
My voice. Yeah, that was it. It was that I have a huge opportunity to be a voice for the voiceless. And when I say the voiceless, it literally means those that are too afraid to speak up, which most of us are. Most child sexual abuse survivors don't even open their mouths about their abuse until they're around the age of 50 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. We're the fear and the shame, more than anything that comes along with it, is just the magnitude is just horrendous. And for those that have passed on, who were told to shove it underneath the rug, or they just never, ever said anything. You know, had it not been for my cousin coming to me and saying, Amy, this is wrong. What's being done to you is wrong. I was a child. I didn't even know it was wrong, you know, and if you say anything, nobody's going to believe you. You're just a kid. I'll kill you if you tell anybody. Those are the two things that I heard. And when you're a kid, you do what that adult tells you to do, period.
Yeah.
You know, my generation, you definitely did what you were told to do. And from the South, you know, this was just the way it was. So, and then the word courage, when I tell you it takes a lot of courage to be able to do this, I had no idea. But the more and more I talk, the more solid I become in knowing that it's not just about me now. This is about more than 42 million survivors.
Right.
The United States currently has on record, and that's a very old statistic. So if more than 60% of us don't ever say anything until we're the age of 50, I mean, when you put those together, we know that 42 million is actually only this.
Yeah, it's a very small number.
Very small.
You mentioned that it was your courage. In listening to you, I can't help but think that choosing that name is also incredibly empowering to those kids.
I'll give you a quick story. We were working with the middle schoolers with Southfield School District last year. And I remember we had two young ladies come up to us. I always have kids, you know, come up to me afterwards, but two sixth graders came up to me and thanked me for telling my story. They said, this is happening to me. Thank you for telling me. That's the connection I was telling you about earlier. And when they finally hear somebody else standing there doing the work that I get to do, I guess in their mind, they're thinking, she's doing that. I can do that. She's safe. I can go tell her. She can help me. One was being targeted online and one was being targeted offline. You have to report it. Like legally, you have to report this. And then after that, hopefully the young ladies were able to get the support, additional support, because it is a lifelong journey of healing and it never goes away. Always, always there. You just have to learn how to pivot when you need to pivot and, you know, deal when you need to deal, you know. It doesn't discriminate. It's any age, any race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation. It doesn't matter the marital status in the home. It doesn't. It literally can happen to anyone. Your religious affiliation, none of that matters. Granted, lower income, they say, tends to have, you know, a higher rate. But
it's happening in middle class and upper middle class.
Absolutely.
Upper class families as well.
Absolutely. I went from being an honor roll student to failing and being homeless by the time I was 17. Our kids that are in foster care, very, very high at risk, really high at risk. And they're searching. It's you go to search for love and acceptance and belonging. Children live online. This is their world. And so these online predators, this is what they do. This is their day job, night job. They're always searching. And so they look for those vulnerabilities in those children that are using social media to get that attention. And they say, hey, I can buy you clothes. Hey, I have a modeling company, right? The tactics are unbelievable. And they're always 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of us. So you have to work with the children. You have to empower them and teach them and educate them.
A Courageous Voices got two signature programs, Kids Voices Matter and Stronger Together.
So Kids Voices Matter, this is where our prevention education comes into play with children K through 12. So we have this evidence-based, comprehensive, age-appropriate curriculum We go into schools in Lakeland County. This gives us such a great opportunity to reach masses, a lot of children. And then our Stronger Together program is where we work with adults and we get to raise awareness and educate them, you know, how to have the open conversations with your children. What are the signs of child abuse and neglect? We have specific trainings around child sexual abuse. Yeah, we talk about mandated reporting. What does that mean here in the state of Michigan? We'll be working at the Oakland County Sportsman's Club next Thursday, working with their leaders there and talking about child safety and what can they do as an organization to really support these kids and support their organization as well. So I do these kinds of things a lot.
The issue of cyberbullying, and often the outcomes are so horrific. How is a Courageous Voice actually working in that area?
Yeah, we definitely recognize the devastating impact that cyberbullying can have on children and teens. And that is also, thank goodness, a part of what we teach and empower children how to protect. So with our prevention education, we integrate cyberbullying. That's teaching children the signs of cyberbullying. They can protect themselves. We have 5 safety rules, you know, that we teach the kids. And these 5 safety rules actually go with all of with everything, the bullying, the cyberbullying, with abuse, with all of it. And that's really amazing. And that's to know what's up, to spot red flags, to make a move, talk it up, and no blame, no shame. So those are the 5 safety rules that we get to teach these kids. And it's really encouraging them to speak up, how to protect themselves, and they can carry it in their back pocket and take it everywhere with them. We also encourage and promote the creation of safe spaces, especially digitally for young people. Our programming, our curriculum is full of social emotional learning. And with that comes digital citizenship. So how are they also choosing to show up online, which is really important. And skill building, those resilient skills, communication skills, that's also a part of it. And then parent and educator workshops. That's an additional, with our Stronger Together program, we talk to parents about how to have the open conversations with their children. A lot of this really evolves around communication.
Yes.
You know, with parents and educators.
Where do LGBTQ youth fit in? Yeah. I would imagine it's a significant issue.
It is a significant issue. They are statistically, they face, you know, higher rates of bullying and cyberbullying. Michigan actually has a cyberbullying law that was put into place in March of 2019. But our education is inclusive. So it really emphasizes on the respect for all identities, orientations. It also promotes how children to ally. You don't want to be a bystander. You want to be an upstander. And what does that actually mean? And we do a lot of fun games within this curriculum. There's music and all kinds of things. And it's really amazing when you see these kids start to partake in the curriculum and have a better understanding of what it means. You know, I hear this a lot. Snitches get stitches, Miss Amy. You know? And I said, okay, let's talk about what a snitch is then, you know. So really defining a lot of this has been really helpful.
Do you see a Courageous Voice as a replicable model?
Yes, I know you can see the smile on my face right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be around when it happens. I hope so. But I really would love to see, starting with Michigan, I would love to see charters potentially popping up through the state of Michigan and this curriculum being able to go throughout. That's my hope. As well as working with adults. I would love to see both programs being able to go throughout the state of Michigan.
Clearly, we can call you a social visionary. What's been the biggest surprise to you as you transition to this world?
Well, the surprise is the profound impact of community engagement. So I make handmade candles, for instance.
Yes.
So on Saturdays, most Saturdays, April through the end of October, you can find me at the Oakland County Farmers Market with my candles. But more importantly, it's an opportunity for me to engage with the community. There has been such a profound impact. I mean, all over, but from that market alone, it has just been incredible with the people that I have been able to meet and that continue to come back now or that donate, right? Just right. Those things that are coming to our fundraiser at Topgolf, you know, the end of April. And I think the power of collective action, now having even political figures, they want to know more about who we are, what we do, how can they help us? That has really been the biggest surprise, because so many people don't want to talk about child trafficking or child sexual abuse. The beautiful piece, the hope around all of this is that prevention education is key. We can stop it or stop it from even happening. I think the goal here is to have happy, healthy children. We want them to be safeguarded. And that has been the biggest surprise to me, is to see the overwhelming amount of people come out and say, how can I help you? What can I do?
You're shining the light on something that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to think about it. All of those things that were traditionally hidden are now coming out to the fore. And I, you know, that's social media that's driving it. There's a lot of different things in our culture that are driving it.
Sure.
So, you know, I remember being so impressed when I met you when you said, well, I make these beautiful candles. And I, and I asked you, how are you raising money and making these candles and selling them was a significant piece of your budget at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I don't think we have a grantee who has ever done something like that.
It was the only way I knew. You know, I started making those as a meditative, say, opportunity for me. Smells. There's something about smells for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the youth group at the time that I was working with in Detroit, they said, Miss Amy, you should sell those. They were talking about selling for my own personal gain. I said, no, let's sell them for a courageous voice. Like, let's
right.
see what we can do. And last year, we raised over $7,000 just in
case it
won't. Yeah.
And they really just smell good.
Oh, thank you.
Anybody who's listening to this today, how can they advance the dialogue?
I think the first thing we need to do is educate ourselves. If you have children, have the open conversations with them. Take opportune moments to make them learning, teaching opportunities for the children. I think it's really hard when we sit down and say, okay, let's talk about this. Has anybody ever touched you inappropriately? And they're going to look at you like, what?
Yeah.
But know how to have the conversations, because when we do that and we leave them open-ended, our children are more likely to open up with us. If your child ever does come to you, the first thing I would suggest is to please
remain
calm. Your child, if your child ever comes to you, and then reach out to the authorities immediately. If we continue, Naomi, to sweep this under the rug, every predator, every abuser will go on to potentially hurt another child. We have to say something. If you see something, if you hear something, say something.
Say something. Well, Amy, I am so excited that we had this chance to chat. I want to thank you, first of all, for your time. And I want to thank you for doing the work that you're doing, because it is incredibly important.
Thank you, Naomi. I want to thank you and the Good People Fund, because without your support, we would not be where we are today.